Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Half Year Report 2018 conference call and live webcast. I'm Sherry, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you on our H1 results call. We are very pleased to present, as we think, a strong set of figures with a strong increase in the turnover of external sales of 15% and a strong EBITDA improvement of +11.6%. I will ask now Tobias Knechtle to talk you through the details of the numbers before I then take over to give you an outlook on the strategic initiatives for the H2 2018. Please, Tobias, go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, as well from my side. I'm on page 4 of the investor relations presentation, and we'll start on the bottom left, indeed, with the sales increase of external sales of +15%, amounting to over 1.3 billion. The increase is mainly due to the following factors. It's the consolidation of Backwerk, which has been consolidated since end of 2017. It's a positive FX development year-on-year, but it's also as well organic positive development, especially on the food service division, which helped to achieve that very good result. Gross profit margin, if we move slightly up, stands at 45.5%. That is a steep increase of 2.5 percentage points. That effect is as well driven by Backwerk, but as well organically, we have improved our operating margin by over 0.7 percentage points year-on-year. On top, GP margin has been affected by IFRS 15, the new revenue recognition standard, which I will talk about in a couple of minutes. But this increase of 2.5% is purely internal, so no accounting impact on this, really only the impact of Backwerk and the organic improvement we achieved in this half year. As a consequence, EBIT as well has been increasing to 36%, year-on-year an increase of 1.3 million. However, previous year included a one-off gain by the sale of the La Praille building, the Naville building in Geneva, of almost 3 billion. If I normalize that part, we have a double-digit increase in EBIT year-on-year from operations. EBIT margin still at a strong 3.5% for the first half year. ROCE slightly below last year's level on the basis of the consolidation of the capital employed from Backwerk, and leverage ratio still stable at 2x despite the Backwerk acquisition on the back of the equity increase we made end of last year. Turning to page 5, the highlights of the first half year 2018. Starting with the group, I think really the highlight here is that the Backwerk acquisition is well on track. We're very satisfied with management, with the company, with the development. We'll talk later on about that in both the figures and Michael's part on strategy. But it's also clear that the integration of Backwerk has a significant impact on our figures, as I'll explain on the following pages. We're well, very pleased with the operating performance of Retail Switzerland and Food Service. Retail Switzerland, which had a very high level already last year, and on top benefited from the one-off gain from the sale of the mentioned building, is still at the same level than last year, so managed to compensate the book gain of the building, and stands at that very nice level. Food service, We said this year food service needs to show grow again, needs to confirm it is an engine of growth and profitability. We've achieved that across all formats, and we therefore happy with the both top line and bottom line development of that division. With the result of 36 million in the first half, we well on track to achieve the full year guidance announced for 2018. We normally have a split of 40% and 60% in the first half and 60% in the second half. Accordingly, extrapolating the 36 million, we would get close, so at the 90 million that we have announced as guidance, and as such, we are confirming our full year guidance of 90 million plus minus 3 million. Food service, as mentioned, very happy with the top line growth in both sectors, the B2C part on the POS side, but as well then the B2B part on our wholesale. We have doubled the capacity in Cincinnati, so the existing line we managed to increase or double the capacity there, and we're well on track to make the line extension in Germany and in Cincinnati, which should be online and ready in Q2 or Q3 of next year. Finally, retail. We have launched in Switzerland the new AVEC concept that opened a couple of weeks ago at the main station in Bern. And as well, except for that, we have a very nice increase in operating performance in Switzerland, as mentioned. Germany is the point where we have not been so pleased with the development, especially stemming from the deterioration of the presses in Germany, similar to what we had in the past in Switzerland. We have initiated various cost and efficiency initiatives to mitigate that, but not only on the cost side, as well on the top line side, both on food and tobacco, e-smoke, we have achieved initiated projects which will show results in the second half of the year. Turning to page 6, return on capital employed stands at 7.7%, negatively affected compared to end of last year by 0.9 percentage point, mostly on the back of the goodwill from the Backwerk acquisition, which is now reflected over more months. As a reminder, the capital employed is the average of the last 13 months, and as a consequence, the capital employed of Backwerk is weighing more on ROCE than at the end of last year. That is the main effect. A part of that, I would like to highlight that Retail Switzerland managed to improve its ROCE further to almost 29 percentage points, and would have been even more when adjusting for the book gain of the Naville building last year. ROCE of Retail Germany decreased due to the lower EBIT contribution, and on the food service, we had a good development organically. The reduction here is due, as mentioned, to the goodwill increase stemming from the Backwerk acquisition. Turning to page 7, the first of in total 3 accounting slides. It's probably a new record, 3 slides on accounting treatment. The slide on page 7 explains IFRS 15, the new revenue recognition standard, which has been live as of 1st of January 2018. The effect of that is that certain kind of promotion, which were previously recognized in revenue, and now treated as reduction of the cost of goods sold, and therefore reduce the top line, reduce as well the COGS line, having a zero effect on gross profit, but thus improving the gross profit margin. As a consequence, gross profit margin for the half year 2017 is increased from 14.5% by 1.5% to 43%. And the IFRS 15 extended makes it mandatory to restate the past, and that's the reason why last year we now show 43% gross profit margin, and from there we managed, as mentioned at the outset, we managed to achieve that in the first half of 2018 to 45.5%. Basically no impact on EBIT, but a big impact on the gross profit margin. From there, I think we're ready to dive into the P&L, starting on top with the sales on page 8. I think it's the right moment to remind ourselves where our money is earned, apart from the portion that we make on the B2B side with the sale of our light bread products to wholesale customers. That is at the POS. If we look at our portfolio of POS, you see that a vast majority of our POS are at high traffic location like transportation hubs, a train station, airports, metro station, but as well city centers. One third roughly is in shopping malls, where a part of that clearly qualifies as well as high frequency location, but some are less frequented. And then finally, only 9% is in places like agglomeration, gas station, etc., where generally you have, maybe with the exception of the gas station, a lower frequency. So a very strong portfolio which is concentrated on high-frequency locations. Turning to page 9, we're showing on the left-hand side the development of the external sales with the already mentioned 15% increase in external sales. So the sale done by our franchise partners and owned sales. Whereas on the right-hand side, the development of the net revenues amounts to 7.6%. A lower number on the basis that a significant part of our partners are franchise partners, and therefore in our revenues only the franchise part is reflected, so only the percentage that is given as a franchise fee to us. And as Backwerk is a pure franchise business, a large part of the external sales we've been buying there and that have been made in the first half of 2018 is only reflected as a franchise fee in 2018. Except for Backwerk, the net revenue increase still amounts to 4.1% on the basis of higher revenue in food service, also a higher number of self-operated stores in retail Germany, but as well then positive exchange rates between the euro and the Swiss franc. Turning to page 10, I mentioned the main points. There's still two, three highlights I would like to make, and that is especially focusing on the last column, the same store development. We have a almost balanced same store development on Switzerland, which has been very strong. I think I've never seen such a strong figure since I joined the company. If we would have waited a couple of days more, we would have seen here a positive figure. That clearly is supported by the Panini sales in the first half, but even without that, same store has been developing very nicely in retail Switzerland compared to the previous years in the reporting period. Germany has as well a almost balanced same store. Here we less pleased with the development. Germany has been very strongly affected both on the retail side as the food service side by adverse weather condition in the first 4 months of the year. Less pronounced in Switzerland, but especially in northern Germany, the first couple of months have been very severe and impacted our sales. On top, the decline of press came in very strongly, as was the case in Switzerland a couple of years ago. We managed, however, to compensate this decline in press by higher sales in food, non-food, and tobacco. But as we'll see in a couple of pages, these sales are coming with a lower GP margin than the press sales, which had a negative effect on the business. Food service, clearly impacted again by the development or the acquisition of Backwerk. But as well organically, we had a very nice development. Backwerk contributed 33 million. The rest was done organically with a net revenue increase of 3.3% in local currency without Backwerk. And especially in Switzerland, 4% same-store development compared to the previous year period. With Backwerk especially, we're pleased with the openings. We managed to make 16 openings in the last 6 months. On the other side, we had 10 closing as we're working on the quality of the network in order to further improve the profitability of the business. But the pipeline, as shown with the 16 openings, has been very strong. Turning to gross profit, page 11, an increase of 14% to 474 million, and as already mentioned now a couple of times, a strong increase of the GP margin to 45.5%. This 2.5% is due to Backwerk, but as well organically, we had an operating performance improvement of 0.7 percentage point. Page 12 shows the detail, not a lot to mention here except that Retail Switzerland managed to further improve the gross profit margin on the back of strong promotion. Germany, a decline as mentioned already on the revenues, and food service, a strong improvement both organically and through Backwerk. Butter and cheese raw material prices still at high levels, so unfortunately we've not seen an easing compared to last year, and as well in the second half of the year we expect butter and cheese prices to stay at historically high levels. Operating costs, we've seen an increase of 14% and as well a deterioration of the cost ratio by 2%. That is to a very large extent driven by the consolidation of Backwerk, which led, due to the nature of the business, to this deterioration of the cost ratio. On the other side, cost increased as well in Retail Germany on the back of more self-operated stores, while the rest of the business managed to keep their cost flat. The slight increase that you see on the Retail Switzerland is due to the book gain of the building last year, which was booked under the cost items. If you normalize for that, you will see that the costs have been constant in Switzerland. Putting it all together, we're getting to EBIT on page 15, where normalized for the book gain on the Naville building, we had a 13% increase. And on EBITDA, we would even have a higher EBITDA increase as the Backwerk consolidation includes a very high level of amortization from the intangibles that we activated when doing the purchase price allocation. On top of the 4 million increase, we also improved the EBIT margin by 0.2 percentage point to 3.5%. And turning to page 16, as already mentioned, very happy that Retail Switzerland stays at previous year level, which included the book gain of Laplay, so a very strong operating performance. Food service as well, the steep increase stemming both from the acquisition of Backwerk and each of the sub-division, the business units within food service, while at Retail Germany, the decline has is stemming mostly from the reduction on the press side with various measures initiated very early already in the year to make up for that in the second part. Below EBIT, turning to page 17, not very eventful. Financing activity is slightly worse than in the previous year period. On FX impact, the reduction of the exchange rate Euro-Switzerland compared to the end of December 2017, while on the interest side paid, we had a significant improvement due to the refinancing of the straight bond and the replacement through Ein Schuldschein Darlehen earlier this year. Taxes on a 20% level as last year, which is as well roughly the rate we expect going forward, leading to a net profit from continuing operation with a similar increase than EBIT between 3 and 4%. Net results from discontinued operation have been negatively impacted by an adjustment on the earnout on the trade division sale that occurred end of 2015. EBITDA threshold for the years 16 and 17 have not been achieved, and therefore the earnout component have not been paid, leading to that adjustment of the capitalized part of the earnout. All in all, that leads to a group net profit at 21 million with a reduction of the earnings per share in this half year to 4.7 Swiss francs per share on the basis of the result from discontinued operations impact and as well the higher number of shares through the capital increase end of last year. On the balance sheet, I can be relatively short. We have a sound balance sheet with a relatively constant metrics and a sound development both on the leverage ratio and the equity ratio. We will refinance the hybrid bond, which is due end of October. It's not due, it's a perpetual bond, but it's the first call date, so we'll call it at the first possible date, end of October, and refinance that in due time. On the free cash flow side, a very strong figure with 10 million, a 13% increase year on year, bearing in mind especially that last year included the cash inflow from the sale of the Naville building of 20 million, and therefore that improvement year on year results from the EBITDA increase of 12%, but as well the much better net working capital compared to last year. CapEx stays relatively low with only 1.5 million increase compared to last year. In the second half of the year, we will see higher figures here based on the production line expansion and the CapEx associated with that will flow in the second half of this year and the first half of next year. As already mentioned, page 20, we are thus confirming our guidance of 90 million plus minus 3 for the full year of 2018. I suggest that I quickly turn to the over next chapter, the IFRS 16 and its results on the financial results prior to handing over to Michael. On page 25, nothing new for most of you, I guess. As of 2019, we will have a new accounting standard on leases with no restatement of the previous year, and that change in the treatment of the leases will drastically change all our metrics. Very briefly, leases need to be capitalized and then amortized over the length of the leases. Therefore, no rental cost is shown anymore, but more depreciation. That will lead to, and you see the impact on page 26, on a steep increase of our total assets. Our debt will increase as well as leases are capitalized and then show as debt on the liability side. That has an impact on leverage ratio, equity ratio, especially, but also slightly on gross profit and EBIT. EBITDA would double as rental costs are not in there anymore, and therefore you see that on the takeaway box on the bottom. We will not show EBITDA going forward anymore. We will adjust the ROCE definition to show only the capital employed from capital provided by shareholders and debt providers. And we will as well adjust the free cash flow definition to reflect that. There's no impact on the business other than that. The business stays the same. These figures will impact 2019 going forward, and at the time of the annual results presentation, we will as well make an adjustment of our midterm guidances to reflect IFRS 16, but you have a first view on the impact with the real H1 2018 figures on page 26. And with this, I would like to hand over to Michael on the strategic initiative.
Thank you very much, Tobias. As always, in the half-year results, only a short overview on the key initiatives and what we expect for the second half in terms of operational and strategic initiatives. Overall, no surprises. As Tobias elaborated, we are very pleased with the development and ultimately the handover in terms of leadership in the Swiss retail business. As a reminder, Roger Vogt, he joined us early in January, took over responsibility as CEO of Retail Switzerland from myself. He quite impressively in this very short period of time was leading the development around the new AVEC concept that I will talk about in a minute. And at the same time delivered a very strong result in terms of both top-line development, Tobias mentioned the strong same stores, strong in the light of continuous decline in terms of sales, mostly in print, but also on the tobacco side, and also on an EBIT line, a very strong confirmation of the high profitability in the Swiss retail business, given the fact that we had an extraordinary effect or from the sale of the La Praille building last year, he maintained the same level of profitability. So very pleased overall with the development in Switzerland. I come to a minute to the new AVEC convenience store initiative. We have also mentioned already in the past that we are in preparation of the tender process with the SBB. There we are very confident, first of all, given that we are a long-time reliable partner for SBB. We work for more than 100 years already with the SBB, so the Swiss railway operator. We are in a very strong position in our view, given the fact that we focus exclusively on these kind of food convenience offerings, and we have proven now with AVEC in our review that we can combine the strengths that we have in the fresh food offering, which becomes increasingly relevant in the convenience space from our food service activity, with the experience in the more traditional convenience retail that we operated for so many years and decades in the kiosk and convenience space. In terms of retail Germany, Tobias mentioned that print was declining more severely than what we anticipated in Germany. We were in a situation where decline was slower in Germany over the last couple of years than in Switzerland. This decline now accelerated. This didn't come as a full surprise. We always anticipated that we will see same development as in Switzerland. Now, for the first time, actually, the German market is weaker on the same store basis in print than Switzerland. The way we respond to that is basically that we even more so focus on our efficiency improvements that have not been launched now only as a response to the decline in the market, but has been launched quite a while ago. You don't see the full effect of these initiatives in our numbers yet because we're in the middle of the rollout of SAP, so the team is quite busy with implementing the new SAP platform. Plus, you have additional costs obviously charged due to that project to the business, but we are very confident that already in the second half year and the onwards, we will see positive results from these cost and efficiency initiatives. And beyond that, we continuously invest in the repositioning of the German business, repositioning following the same logic as we applied in Switzerland, mainly increasing the share of food across all the formats, We have a very strong e-smoke initiative where we became the market leader in the liquid space in Germany, and we are very confident that also these initiatives now will create additional momentum, earnings momentum in the German business that helps us, as we have done in Switzerland, to compensate what we lose on the print side. In terms of food service, again, I mean, one of the main initiatives obviously structured around the integration of Backwerk. We are very pleased with the progress we made on the integration on all levels, starting from back office, management integration, but also in terms of most recent concept developments. Backwerk opened a couple of new stores with a new concept that is also the blueprint for what we plan now in terms of rollout in Switzerland. Beyond that, we started to introduce our own OK product in the Backwerk store. We start to deliver our own live bread to bread products from our own production to the Backwerk network, and start by doing that, realize some of the synergies we guided earlier. But also there, I think you have to bear in mind that we only closed the transaction in Q4. It's quite a substantial step. It's a substantial step from a strategic point of view. We're now the market leader in terms of snacking in Germany, and we're very pleased with the progress we made, but the majority of the synergies that we will realize and the earning momentums we will create will be yielded in the months and years to come. Secondly, we announced last year that we're going to invest $50 million in our production capacity. Also, these two projects, on one hand, the increase of the capacity of our German facilities and our newly acquired U.S. facilities, these projects are very well on track. These are quite substantial projects in terms of the order of magnitude of the investment, but also in terms of the management capacity that is invested in these projects. We are very pleased, specifically also in the U.S., with the market development. So we have strong demand for our existing products, and we're definitely in the process of building up a very strong pipeline also for the capacity that we are in the middle of installing now, working with an attractive set of partners, customers, B2B customers, in the U.S. market, and we're very pleased and excited with the fact that we can now address the U.S. market now much more proactively and effectively, given the fact that we have our own manufacturing facilities there on the ground in Cincinnati. With that, I would like to turn to page 23 and focus on the latest concept development in the retail Switzerland space. As I mentioned, we're very pleased with, first of all, the overall handover on a management leadership level, but I'm really proud what the team achieved here within only roughly 5 months in terms of a new development of a new store concept. We worked, as you know, for quite a while already in terms of a repositioning on the AVEC, the Forest concept store we opened in December 2016 in Siegelbrücke. We added an additional store here in Zurich, tested new product categories, and now within the last 5 months under the leadership of Roger Vogt, our new CEO for Retail Switzerland, we developed a completely new store format for AVEC, including a new brand. This is not a concept store anymore. This is a store that we will roll out already in the coming weeks and months at 10 locations in the short term. It's definitely a concept that we will use in the tender offer process with SBB, so a tender offer where we also have the opportunity to get access to new locations, because it does not only cover Valora locations, but also other locations where we have an opportunity to even add stores to our existing network. And with the new AVEC concept, in our view, we added quite a new and, in terms of freshness, a leading concept to the Swiss market. Handmade with love is the claim of the brand, and it's exactly what we do. A large part of the food offering is handmade on premises in the stores for our customers, fresh products, innovative products. We contribute all the capabilities and experience we have on the food service side in terms of on-store or on-premise production of these kind of products, and experience in terms of recipes and the products, what the customer expects from these products. We added also, in our view, quite a unique offering in terms of store experience. We have a very open floor plan, very modern design, very appealing and contributing to the fresh character of the products that we sell there. And we have installed, by confirming that or supporting that, a large bread table, for example, where you enter the stores and you have this feel of a small marketplace. The first store that we opened in Bern is only 47 square meters. We can play this format or will play this format across different store sizes. This will be one of the main differentiators to our competitors. We will have one brand, one offering, one store character across different store sizes. So we will scale this store up to significantly higher, larger locations. And we are very much convinced that this will be very well received by the customers, given the trend that we see towards fresher product, more variety in terms of the offering. Customers do expect that they have an opportunity to eat different products, healthier products, on the go, specifically at high-frequency locations, but also increasingly in inner-city locations, where we also see an opportunity for that kind of format. And with that, I would like to open up the Q&A.
The first question is from Lorena Zini from Tobel. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I would have three questions, if I may. This morning, you confirmed your EBIT target guidance for the full year of 90 million plus minus 3. So this means that the 93 million is still doable. So why do you expect such an improvement in H2, and what would be the drivers? My second question is on free cash flow, and you partly answered it already. So you had a really strong free cash flow, underlying free cash flow in H1. Should we expect this strong free cash flow to continue in H2? And then my last question is on the profitability at retail Germany. So you talked about many initiatives to increase profitability there and to offset the decline in the press business. But how long these initiatives will take? How should we think about profitability in this division going forward? Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Lorena, for your question. On the EBIT guidance, we state in our half-year report and as well in the annual reports that we have a seasonality on slightly higher revenues in H2, holiday season, etc., leading to the cost base relatively fixed, leading to a 40% of profitability stemming from H1 and 60% stemming from H2. And if you look at the split we had in, so 40 to 45% is stated in our half year report. If you look at the last couple of years, the split always have been adjusted for the one-offs on around 40%. So extrapolating the 36 to the full year with that split, you know, you by chance exactly get to the 90 million. that is the pure historical evidence. And if I look at our latest estimate, we always do ahead of the half-year results. That is the second factor that makes me positive that the guidance that we set out is still very well achievable for the full year, as we've achieved it as well in the past. On free cash flow for H2, there's one big point to take into consideration, which I mentioned, and that is that CapEx will be much higher in the second half of the year due to the investment in the line expansion in Germany and in at Ditch USA. That will have a, in inverted commas, negative effect on the free cash flow as we invest in future profitability and cash. Other than that, net working capital is as well, like always, fluctuating depending on when the year-end or the last payment at year-end goes. That can have an impact, which is material. But as in the past, we've always been commenting which part of free cash flow is due to a payment date fluctuation versus not. Overall, we have started a very large initiative on improving net working capital management, and we have seen first result of that already in the H1 result, but over the next 12 months, so not fully for the full year, but as well then in 2019, we see potential on the net working capital side. We also have some negative points on the net working capital. The higher profitability at food service comes from a more efficient production cycle, which improves profitability, but has a slight negative effect on net working capital. But all in all, net working capital at that half year is on indeed good management, but as well the payment date. H2 free cash flow overall will mainly be affected by higher CapEx. On retail Germany profitability, it, as Michael said, and I mentioned as well, the decline in press didn't catch us by surprise. We've been in discussion with the local management for a long time, saying that there's absolutely no reason why press market in Germany over the long run should develop differently from what we've seen, for example, in the US and more recently in Switzerland. And as a consequence, we've initiated already in 2017 and already early in 2018 a series of measures to compensate that expected press decline. These are, on one side, cost measures, which some of them will have a short-term effect. Other ones, like SAP, will have a longer-term effect and materialize rather in 2019. But then as well, top-line development, and here I would like to mention especially the e-smoke initiative, which would have an effect then in a large effect, especially on H2 of this year, as we've rolled out more modules of e-smoke at good locations.
But over the full year, we should still expect the margin to be lower in 2018 than in 2017 at Retail Germany.
At Retail Germany, what is clearly so is that we are replacing press, which has a high margin in Germany, with other points with other products which have a slightly lower profitability. To what extent exactly we manage to overall to compensate even more with cost measure, we're still in the finalization, but overall, yes, that mix has a slight negative effect on profitability.
All right, thank you.
If I add to that, overall in Retail Germany, I think the development we see is quite comparable to what we have seen in Switzerland a couple of years ago. And we have a very solid blueprint in terms of how to implement measures, how to address these shifts in the market. I think there are a couple of significant differences in terms of our German business, and the most important one is you're aware that we have, 3 years ago, we have been quite busy improving operations in the German business. Last step that we take now is to roll out SAP, build a platform that will enable us to basically implement the same management KPIs in the German business as we have done in Switzerland. And beyond that, whenever we invest in our store network and the transformation of our store network, the most recent development will also support us in the discussion with our landlords, because ultimately now it becomes quite clear also to one of our key landlords that they have to work a little bit, a little quicker with us on the transformation, and to be a little bolder in terms of the steps they allow us to take in these stores. So on the short term, definitely a negative impact on our business. Not a surprise that it will happen. Always a surprise when it happens, because it's very difficult to time these things. But now I see already first responses from our landlords in a way that they start to realize that they have to create a little bit more flexibility for us in terms of the transformation in the stores, be it putting in a more sophisticated coffee offering, more food, and so on. So that's why we are actually quite confident in the short and midterm in terms of future development of also of our business in Germany.
The next question is from Marco Strittmatter, ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Just two or three very small questions. I wonder what your expectation is for the same store sales in Switzerland in the second half, now especially that you mentioned the Football Cup had a positive influence, so I would assume it's going lower again based on what we've seen in the recent years. But just maybe you can confirm or contradict. Then I was a bit surprised to see still the loss from the Valora trade sale. I mean, yes, I wasn't aware that still there are clauses that exist. Now the question is, are there more possible surprises from other sales? Like the press business earlier, or is this it from this invitation? From the earlier stuff. And then the third question would be on your options business. Is Bob Finance, how is it doing it? And is Bob still alive?
Good. Thank you very much for these three questions. I will take the first two. So in terms of same store, we have never given a guidance on same store. I understand your question in terms of what's the Panini impact on the second half of the year, since World Cup is over. First of all, Panini does not have a significant impact on our business in Switzerland anymore. In the past, when Valora was communicating a Panini impact, it was mainly our Austrian wholesale business that was contributing strongly. So we expect positive impacts on our business on the same store level in the next coming months, H2, that will definitely are more significant than Panini. And please bear in mind also, we never used that as an argument, that we never discussed that with management, but ultimately I think Tobias mentioned it, and it's fair to mention it, weather in H1 was not really helping our business also here in Switzerland, and definitely not in Germany, where it was specifically in the northern part of Germany, much colder for much longer. And also here in Switzerland, we actually had quite some headwind from the weather. And so I'm actually quite, I don't think Panini is actually having is the main driver for same store, mm-hmm. and therefore does not have an impact on H2. And then, as you know, main focus, obviously, same store is important, but main focus is also in terms of margin development and the shift and the introduction of the new food offerings. And there we have quite a strong pipeline that also Roger Vogt, our new CEO in Switzerland, built up in the first couple of months, and that will be now implemented in the second half year. So I expect also there quite some positive impact. So that's probably my answer on your first question. Second question, clear. Short answer, no. There are no other sales outside of the trade transaction where we have where you could expect similar effects. There are the trade, I mean, the divestiture of all the other businesses. These were straight divestitures without an earn-out clause. So the trade transaction, as you know, had an earn-out element. This earn-out element is basically, or the depreciation of that earn-out element, or impairment of that earn-out element, that's what you see now having an impact on our EPS. At the same time, I mean, this is to a significant part accounting, obviously relevant accounting in terms of a fair and true view. We have taken back then at time of the transaction what we can expect for them earn-out. Unfortunately, it has not last year materialized in a way that we were receiving any payment from the buyer, mostly due to the operational performance of the business, which also to a certain degree tells the story that also, at least so far, Aurelius did not manage to improve profitability to a level that where the earnout would have kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And for the third question, I probably hand, or do you want to add something to the second question, Tobias?
Yeah, maybe there's still, so it shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, we mentioned that earnout when we sold. There's still, to be completely transparent, there's still the 2018 portion of the earnout, which is still in the book. However, there we expect that after 3 years, the performance will improve. And as Michael said, non-cash, so compared to any development on the cash flow, that only can have a positive effect. On top, we have as well compensating for that still tax provisions, which, you know, at least to a certain degree probably won't be used. So you shouldn't hopefully see an impairment on that side, but that's for the sake of being transparent. Coming to number three, yes, Bob is alive and kicking. We pleased with the development there. The reason we mention it less prominently is indeed because the link to our core business is not as strong as we've hoped in the beginning. So especially the small credits at the point of sales directly, we stopped that business already 2017, as mentioned at the time. But the main business, so the private credit, is developing very nicely. We are, I think, by now an established player in the Swiss market, and the portfolio as such is developing in a direction where break even on a monthly basis is within reach, and the portfolio per se already developed a nice value, because as you know, cost, you know, you have now and the revenue comes over the next year, so the lifetime value always have been positive since almost 2 years.
So has it developed more into positive territory over the last 2 years?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, I mean, you know, you start with the costs are basically fixed. You start with zero portfolio and therefore only minimum interest income. We've built, I think we can say that, we've built a portfolio with a three-digit million number. And out of that, we generate, of course, nice interest income, and the cost base stays fixed. If the development of the portfolio continues at that pace, automatically you get into a positive territory.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Marco.
The next question from the phone is from John Cox, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. John Cox, Kepler Cheuvreux. Just a question back on the German retail and what's happening with the print media. Why don't you just remind us how much print media, including books, is in Germany overall, maybe as a proportion of gross profit, and also the same in Switzerland, and what the rate of declines were in Switzerland and Germany. From what I remember, I think in Switzerland now, at least the revenues of print and media are sub 10% for retail Switzerland. But just wondering where they are in Germany. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, John, for your question. The gross profit of Germany in percent of total gross profit is at 11%. Just confirming, yes, I'm on the right level. If you include as well the books, you are slightly higher. Give me a sec. At around 14-15%. That was the overall figure for retail. In retail Germany, that's why I paused a minute. That seemed too low. Okay. In Germany, you are around 30% of gross profit for in percentage of gross profit, both press and books. In retail Switzerland, as a consequence, you are at 7%, and therefore at a very low figure. The overall split by category, I gave you now the half year result figures, but you know, to give you an impression of all dimensions, all categories on the annual results 2016, you have the split for all categories between retail Switzerland and retail Germany. That's on page 9.
Maybe if I add, I think second part of your question was development in terms of sales. So for the past, we have seen a decline on an annualized basis in Switzerland of 7 to 8, 9% over the last actually 5, 6 years, whereas Germany was more at a 3 to 4% rate. And now, as I said earlier, for the first time, we see actually Switzerland with a slower decline in the first half, a little over 5.5%, close to 6%, and retail Germany with almost 8%. So this is now the shift, and that's, as Tobias said, we always anticipated that, but it's very hard to time it, right? So there is not a clear indicator what happened in the market. So obviously the publishers are still investing in the market. We haven't seen significant changes in the product offering. So there are not less newspapers or businesses or any businesses that have to cease to exist or reduce significantly their spend in the market. But it seems like that there has been a shift in terms of consumer behavior and spending, and ultimately now that's what what affected the German business in the first half year. But as I already answered early in the Q&A, this also helps us and makes the point, actually, that we will see that development in Germany. This triggers completely new discussion also now with publishers on one hand in terms of how to promote these products, what the strategy going forward for the print product category is, and on the other hand, it opened up actually quite interesting discussions with our landlords, where they become increasingly aware that they have to increase flexibility in terms of product offerings in our stores. But quite clearly, as Tobias talked through the numbers, in retail Germany, exposure is higher in print because we operate more of the P&B stores than we do in Switzerland. But bear in mind, the higher margin contribution is also based and driven by the fact that we have a higher margin off print at our railway station locations. There is this Bahnhofs Buchhandels privilege in terms of the margin, so a special treatment of the margin at railway stations. This ultimately translates into a higher margin contribution. The element that makes us a little less concerned is that in the past, the decline in Switzerland has been very much driven by daily newspapers, which had a significantly higher share of the overall print spend, whereas the magazine business that historically has been much stronger in Germany is takes a significantly higher share, roughly 90% of the overall revenues. And there we see more opportunities to, through promotions, through sales activities, to further strengthen that category again, whereas quite clearly on the news, daily news side, we anticipate pretty much the same development as we have seen here in Switzerland.
Thank you.
Next question is from Ronald Wildman, research partner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello to everyone. I have basically three questions. First of all, probably you can elaborate a little bit more about what you have in the pipeline in Connecticut in the U.S. With the new, you were telling us in the presentation that that you are in negotiations or in deals with possible partners. Probably are you already ready to name them, or what, when you have new partners, will you do so? And then probably you can also update us a little bit on the partnership with Autogrill in Geneva and SSP in Austria. And last question, probably the answer will be very short. You're still doing nothing new in France? Are you still at the same point, or have you any new plans for the French market?
Good. Thank you very much for these three questions. So first of all, on our B2B business in the U.S., it's actually in Cincinnati, not Connecticut. So if I maybe misunderstood that. So our Cincinnati-based plant is in the middle of expanding its capacity. We have, as I said earlier, quite promising leads in terms of partners we can deliver as soon as we have the capacity in place. I think we also discussed in the past, for us it's very important not to create any dependency on single partners or very limited amount of partners, so we are very carefully developing our pipeline with multiple partners. Actually, I'm struggling a little bit to which point you referred in the presentation. Not sure whether you referred to this presentation or earlier presentations. But in terms of partners, there is not a single partner that is important for our sales development in the U.S. right now. We actually rather try to avoid that. We have leads of quite significant partners who want to basically more or less get in agreement with us that would have left us in a quite an exposed and dependent position. We definitely try to avoid that. So there are no news in terms of who's our partner on the sales side or customer side for Cincinnati. All the news is that the investment project is very well on the way, and we are still very confident in terms of the outlook for the sales development as soon as we have the capacity up and running. To your second question regarding SST and AutoGrill, to frame that, we said that our international expansion with bread cocaine, we increasingly focus now on large system operator, as we call them, so franchise partner who operate multiple locations. I don't think, and correct me for that, we have given any specific guidance on single stores or any of these relationships, but all I can say specifically with SSP, we are very pleased with the development, or ultimately SSP as a franchisee is very pleased with the store development. So there are no news in terms of additional pipeline for the PKS business, but yeah, it's definitely, I think, a first success that we managed to hand over these businesses to operate just like SSP, and that we have stores, kind of build up a proven track record with these stores in locations which are relevant to these kind of operators, but we have not given any guidance in terms of shorter-term further development. And I think that's also what you referred to in terms of France. France, we do not have a solution in terms of how we're going to further develop that business. Not sure what Tobias shared with you in the past, but definitely we're not pleased with the development of the stores. I mean, this is a result probably of the locations we operate the stores in. So the shopping centers we're in don't show overall a very strong performance in France. But also on an operational side, we have had quite some challenges. This is all on a very small scale because it's a very small business for us right now. But also there, we follow the same logic where now and then in discussion with system operators, whether they will be interested to take over store operations for these stores. I hope this answered all the, your three questions.
Good.
There are no more questions from the phone.
Yes, so we have a series of questions which came over, which came online. I'll the three of them at that stage. The first one is concerning the refinancing of the hybrid bond, if we could give more information on that. So the hybrid bond, I left it a bit open, so you're absolutely right to ask the question, Nicholas. We have still a series of options how we will do that ultimately. Essential to know is that the syndicated loan of 200 million at that stage is fully unused. So one of the options is to refinance the 120 million with a part of that unused syn loan. Another option is to emit again a straight bond in Switzerland. Why I still leave it a bit open at that stage is that we have a smaller Schuldscheindarlehen which becomes due at in Q1 of next year. So the question is a bit whether we make a joint refinancing at that stage or if we do it in steps. But at the end of the day, a non-issue. And clearly, while that hybrid bond will increase our interest cost, as the interest of the hybrid so far was booked to equity directly, it has a very strong positive impact on the earnings per shares as of next year. I hope that has answered that question. The next question is, what is the expected increase in rent as of 2020? And I guess the question is related to the tender offer of SBB. Michael, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think, if I understand the question correctly, is whether we give any guidance on rent increases, and the answer is no, because we don't know yet what the outcome is of the tender process. Quite clearly, rent will be one dimension SBB is focusing on, and we are very pleased to be, from an operational point of view, in a very strong position, meaning we have proven now over the last years that we continuously increase profitability in the Swiss business. And again, this first half year, we have shown that we confirmed this high level of profitability and that we still have some opportunity even to further increase efficiency and store performance in our review. So I'm actually quite comfortable that we have now the flexibility that is required to bid successfully in that tender process on the rent dimension, but we have not given any guidance what we anticipate there, but rent is only one cost element of the stores we operate. Ultimately, EBIT is driven by many other factors, including obviously the margin and the business mix in these stores that we're going to put in place in 2020 onwards.
Thank you. The last question from Christian Baderbank. Three questions. First one is, what was the amortization of 3 million on acquired intangible assets in food service? That is indeed, as you assumed, related to the amortization of the intangible assets from Backwerk. So when we acquired the business, a part was booked on the goodwill, which is not amortized. But the franchise concept or the franchise relationships were activated as intangibles and are amortized over a 10-year period. So these 3 million indeed relates to that amortization. So no surprise. And that is the reason why the EBITDA increase of 12% is much higher than the EBIT increase of 4% that is related to the amortization of the intangible in Backwerk. Second question is, how much was the loss related to the discontinued operations on an EBIT level in H1 2018? That is the 3.7 million that was mentioned both by Michael and myself. So the write-off of a part of the earn-out from the trade paid out of 2015. Finally, last question, what was the main driver for the 4.1% same-store sales increase in food service Switzerland? Essentially, these are two concepts. It's Brezelkönig and it's Café Spettacolo. Both contributed positively, but Brezelkönig even more so, with very strong same-store sales. Essentially, it is simply good operating performance. There is no significant price increase that was done, and there was no introduction of ETF sales, for example, like we had 1.5 years ago. So this is real operational performance on the basis of good product quality and the reputation of the brand. That's why I mentioned it. It's really one of the highlights as well of H1 of this year. Good. And with that, I think we're coming to an end. Michael, closing words.
Thank you very much for attending this conference call, and hope to hear you at least back on the phone the latest with our update on the full year results. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.